you can go on and you can put that search into a Google or Bing or whatever and just say purposes for Jesus' purpose, you know, why he came. And you'll find places out there that have, I found 21 reasons why he came. I've got 10 top ones. I've got 5 best ones. I've got 12, you know, all these things. There's just to say this, that Jesus came and there's a benefit for his coming in many aspects of our lives. But the one thing that he truly came, and we find that in Matthew, I think, 1:21 or 2:21, or I think it's 1:21, where it talks about, you know, he's going to come and take the sins of this world. We find that happening because of what took place, of course, in Genesis, the first couple of chapters. And so we come into this setting of saying, well, what is the real purpose? And I've got a lot of good things that I can say about him, don't you? Well, what he's done in my life, what he's done for me, what he continues to do in me, what I receive from him. But ultimately, I got to remember that really the focus is he came and he's given me, and how about you, eternal life. He's given us that promise to know that when this life here ends, that I've got a home somewhere else much better, and that my spirit will be called home. And that we received Christ, and Christ came, of course, for God says so, he can reconcile us back to God. Because of what? The sin, and the nature of sin, and man in sin. And if we say we have no sin, we call God a liar. You know, we find those things throughout scriptures, and Romans is good for getting us on that thought process. In 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I have preached to you. Here again, I think we, even in today, we need to hold fast to the teachings and the word of God, don't we? If you do not hold fast to these things, you will find the issues, the situations, the struggles, whatever it is, the adversities of life, to come in and just zap it out of you. In Sunday school, it's the series of The End of Me. We come to find out that we, even us in the church, we need to be empty of ourselves. We need to be empty of anything that is not that of glorifying God. Because we've got to give God the opportunity to pour himself into us, not just a fourth of the way, not just a half a way, not three quarters, but we need to say, Lord, I am empty. Come and fill me. And the Lord will wait until you empty yourself out. The Lord is not going to come and he's not going to take you upside down and shake it and get everything out of you. You've got to, on your own, say, Lord, I can't go any further by myself. Lord, I've tried it and this is not working. Lord, there's got to be more to life. There's got to be more to this for me. There's got to be something else in my life that I need. And I can't find it in this world. And I just give it up. I pour it out. And now, Lord, I say, fill it up with you. And in that Sunday school hour, he was sharing one of the things we just comes to light is, remember when Jesus, you know, one of the first miracles was turning water into wine. And it was not only just the okay wine, it was the best wine. And in that series, it's telling us, and you can go through and find in scriptures, and you can just find that when God pours himself into you, he's pouring in the best. He's pouring in himself. He is the best. He is the greatest. He is good. Amen. He is God. And so we're going to get him, and he's saying, well, he's going to pour in the best into you, just like that best wine, even though it was at the end, you know, where we would have thought it would have been the, okay stuff. But that is our God, and that's what he concerns himself, or we should be understanding that how he concerns himself with us. And that's why we can come across and say, God doesn't make junk. We've heard that said before. And all these things, you know, we're created in his image, you know. And when you're talking to someone and you're berating them and you're being negative to them, you're talking negatively to someone that was created in God's image. I just shared that through a marriage counseling session with a couple that just got married. And you've got to realize that when you are angry, when you're this or that with people, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm going against what God created. We're all created in his image. And so as we read this, and it goes on, that if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you first of all that which I've always received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. throughout the scriptures, throughout the old, throughout the new, we find scriptures that attest to that, that Jesus came to take our sins away. I don't think I've got my little notebook here, but I started going through and looking at different Bible books throughout the New Testament, and it's like one or two chapters into it, or within the first chapter, it begins to talk about that Jesus came to take sin. Jesus came to take sin. He came to reconcile us back to God the Father. And there's other great blessings that we receive from that. But what good is it to have good health if when you die, you don't go to eternity? That you get set into the lake of fire? That you don't receive heaven as your eternal home? What good is it to be healthy here? What good is it to be rich and famous here when you die? That you have nothing to go to? That once this life is over, it's over, and it's like, well, no, there's eternity. As they say, how long is eternity? Forever. You know, there is no end. And so we've got to be careful and understand and tell people like, hey, this is just temporary down here. You might be doing well here, but I'm going to tell you, you need to really receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, because, you know, as I was a sinner, you are a sinner, and I'm only saved by grace. Hallelujah. And I'm saved by the blood of Christ washing my sins away. Not just covering, but washed my sins away. And that same can be for you too. Oh, then they say, you never sin again, you never do this or that. No, there's issues in my life that I deal with. I'd be foolish to say that I have lived a perfect life and everything's okay. That would be a foolishness and that would be a lie. But I realize that because of that of the Holy Spirit, that I can tell, how many here can tell when you have a hiccup and it causes God to go, I'm not pleased with that. You got to be careful of these people that are kind of pious, thinking like, well, I was a sinner once, but I've never sinned after that. It's like, oh, really? Did you, have you, did this, that? Well, and so let's not deny those things, but God has given us an opportunity and a way to continue to keep that power within us and that forgiveness there for us. But it says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And now we jump over into 12, and it says now, 15:12, now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And it's going through, and I think this was taken back in a time where Paul was talking to the Greeks, and at that time, they believed in a resurrection of the soul, but not of the body. And we're talking about there's a resurrection of the body, because just as Christ died, amen, laid in a tomb, flesh, blood, or body, his whole body was what? Resurrected. And it's talking about that we will be resurrected. And so Paul is trying to get that clarity because of their understanding of, oh, we believe that the soul will be resurrected. No, this is getting even more deeper than the soul. This is talking about the body is going to be resurrected because Christ was resurrected. How do we know that it was that and not just, you know, a figment of our imagination? Well, because we find throughout scriptures that he went and shared as he was resurrected for 40 days. After that, and as he was seen amongst his disciples, as he was seen amongst 300 to 400 to 500 people, that they looked and said, that's him. And so there is clarity, there's an understanding. Physically he came about. Thomas, oh, how do I know? What did Jesus do? Showed his nail print hands. But then I like what he said after that. He says, but greater are those that believe and have not seen than those that believe and have seen. Or something like that, along that line. But see, I fall into that, then I'm holding on to that, saying, greater is those that believe and haven't seen. How many here have truly seen the nail-scarred hands of Jesus? Physically. I'm glad I haven't seen any hands. But do you believe? If you believe, say amen. Amen. Greater is it he that believeth and not seen. Anybody can believe once you've seen. But this is that faith situation and all that as we grow in faith and understanding. But I find that encouraging myself. But this is kind of like, I think, what he's trying to reflect back to those at the time of what they were understanding when resurrection. So, and it says that, 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. Your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ, they've perished. And so we are looking at, okay, so Jesus came to take away the sins of man, the sins of this world. And we find that then the power, though, is not just necessarily that, but the power lies in what? Resurrection power. What is to be resurrected? Resurrected, if you look it up, I think it means it's to stand upright again, or to stand, to resurrect something, to stand. And so, oh yes, our Lord and Savior was hung on a cross. Oh yes, He died. Oh yes, He was put in a tomb. But oh boy, that tomb is empty. He was resurrected, just like He said He would. So the resurrection confirms that Jesus is who He claimed to be. The resurrection proved that Christ was divine. The fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross does not prove it in itself that He's God. Jesus proved His deity by fulfilling the prophecies of His death, by returning from the grave. The resurrection proved Christ's power to forgive sin. The Bible asserts, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. We just read that in 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are in your sins. By rising from the dead, Jesus proved His authority and power to break the bonds of sin and to assure forgiveness and eternal life to all who accept His gift of salvation. The resurrection revealed Christ's power over death. The Bible records Christ rose from the dead and He will never die again. Death no longer has power over Him. Romans 6:9. The resurrection secured our victory over death as well and lifted us from the grave into glory along with Christ, where we sit with Him in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 2:6. Then one last thing. The resurrection defeated God's enemy. From the moment of His original rebellion until the day of the cross, the devil fought viciously and cunningly to overthrow the kingdom of God. Satan must have thought that he had dealt the final and decisive blow in this age-old war. But this was the devil's most serious miscalculations. The cross was heaven's triumph, and when Jesus Christ arose, the power of sin and death was forever shattered. Why? Because of the resurrection. The resurrection power of Christ. Do you walk in that same power? Do you live that same life of being strengthened by that and knowing that that resurrection power is going to be the same for you? Those that have died in Christ will raise to eternal life. Romans 6. Let's just take a look at Romans 6. I'm going to go 6:4. All righty. What's it say here? 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Well, if death has no more dominion over Him, guess who death does no longer have dominion over as well? Us. Because of the death of Christ and His resurrection, we being His followers, we should never have to fear death. Now that's one of those, for us, when you do a message at a funeral for a believer and you know where they're at with Christ, it's not really a sorrowful time, is it? It's kind of, you're kind of sorrowful that, okay, I don't get to have coffee with them anymore. I don't get to have, you know, dessert with them. I don't get to go whatever, you know, visit them. But we call it as a celebration of life that this person now is in a much better place. Because of the resurrection power, they shouldn't have to fear of death, for it is only temporal. You know, it's for that time, for when it says also in the Word that when He returns, who's going to rise first? The dead in Christ shall rise, and then the others shall be caught up with them. Just whenever you go by a cemetery, I always look over there, no matter where I'm at, just to make sure that nothing's popping. Because if it's popping, I've got to say, okay, Lord, here I am. Okay, ready for takeoff. I'm on the launch pad, 10-4, roger, all righty. Because God raised Jesus from death, he will also raise Christians to that eternal life. John 11:25. See, these are all things that we are having to not, I don't hold on to them saying, oh, this is what's helping me get through. I've already known by faith that I'm holding on to these things, and this God, God's word is true. I don't have to be debated upon. I don't have to be told about it. I don't have to be, you know, nurtured to say, oh, well, look at this and study this. What do you think about this? It's like I just read it for what it says and I say, hallelujah. Let's see, what does it say in 11:25? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now, this is talking to Lazarus and coming about that, isn't it? Lazarus being raised from the dead. I am, and Jesus is saying, this is in the red, Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection. I will stand again. Death has no hold of me. Was that, there's several songs out there, and just want to go ahead, drive the nails in my hand. Dallas Holmes, I think, said that. Because I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the grave. Or, you know, it goes on. But it's that. But see, there's songs about that. But you read those things, and it's like Scripture. Death has no power over him. And in reality, because of us in him and him in us, death has no power over us because we have eternity there for us. Now, so as he's sharing this, I am the resurrection of life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. You can also find in Romans 6:5. So we find that Jesus not only has the power to forgive us of our sins, hallelujah! Why did Jesus come? To forgive the sins of many, to bring back the world to God as many that will receive him, amen? But he came to take away the sins of man. He came to take away the sins of mankind. But even after that, he has resurrected. He came back to life. He not only has the power to forgive us of our sins, but he has the power over life and death. Didn't he tell them that I have power, I can lay my life down and I can pick it back up? People are looking at him at that time when he's sharing those things like, what? This guy is blasphemy. This guy is crazy. No, he knew who he was. The problem is they did not know who he was. They thought he was just mere man, just a prophet, just somebody just sharing, you know, oh, John. John must be like John, flesh. He's flesh and blood. No. Jesus knew more, for sure, of who he was and what it was all about. We find in Christ's resurrection is the foundation of the Christian faith. We've read that already. We don't need to go back, but you'll find that as 1 Corinthians 15:12-21. Our Christian faith is built in that because Christ rose from the dead. We can have certainty that our sins are forgiven. And that is the thing that is so hard to get across to people in the church sometimes, is that your sins have been forgiven. Say that after me. My sins have been forgiven. Now, do you believe it? You say it like you believe it. Walk it out like you believe it. Don't allow the enemy to keep dwindling it back in upon you and knocking you back down and taking you back where Christ brought you out of. Christ has reached down and taken you out of that miry clay. Amen. And set my feet on the ground. Hallelujah. And you got to keep walking that and understanding and who you are in Christ, knowing that your sins have been forgiven, have been washed, have been cleansed, have been taken away from you. As far as the east is from the west, deepest in the deepest seas, it's buried. But the devil wants to always bring up what? Past. The sins of the past. How could he forgive you? Why would he forgive you? Are you sure he forgave you? Do you think he forgave you? And he says it enough and enough and enough, and people begin to listen to that chatter box that we went through about 2 years ago. Chatter box, we all have it. And that old little voice in your head just begins to keep chattering that same thing. Are you sure? I don't know. You better think. Maybe it's not totally forgiven. Blah, 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 blah. And we begin to start having doubts. And once we begin into that doubt session, The devil loves doubts. Because it starts with a D. Devil D, doubts D. You know? He just wants to build that doubt. But we've got to understand, because of what Christ has done, what he came to be, the good news, the scriptures are sharing, that number one, you've got to have your sins forgiven. You've got to repent. Amen? The first thing we did when we came to Christ, generally, was, and now you're going to find this, though, because he healed people that weren't saved. So I don't hold that before the people saying, well, Terry, if you want to be healed of this, first of all, you need to receive Christ, and then he will touch you and heal you. That's not right. I see scripture showing where he went upon those that were sinners and touched them and made them whole again. So it's not a prerequisite that you get all this ahead, because let thy will be done. Because he healed and touched that person. Even in our lives today, you know, at first I could really be doubtful if I wanted to pray for someone, because say this situation with this person that wants to sell their house. I don't really know if she's a Christian, so do I really want to lift her up and say, God, just help her and bless her and all that? But wait, before we do that, let me call her first and make sure she's saved. No, I just want to say, God, this person, a human being that I know, has this situation. I want to pray and lift it up to you. Now, Lord, if she is not if she's not saved, or however we want to claim it out, you know, Lord, if she doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, Lord, let this be the opportunity that she will be drawn to him. Use that, Lord, as whatever it is. He will use whatever tool. He's going to use what he's going to use, because it's thy will be done, not Tim's will be done. I've just got to be faithful, to be praying, be encouraging, to be sharing, to be, you know, share the good news, but don't twist their arm to take it. I got to drop the seed. Somebody else will water it. Somebody else will harvest it. All three of those areas bring honor and glory to God. But we got to get past that understanding of, number one, the sins are forgiven, and then the power that we walk in is because my Jesus was raised from the dead. Buddha, dead. Allah, dead. Confucius, dead. I think you can go, and wherever they've been buried, I think you could probably find bones. Go to where they buried Christ, and you find, oh, an empty tomb. Well, his disciples came and they stole his body. That's a lie! Because they had Roman guards guarding that entrance. That's a lie, because they used the insignia and they sealed that tomb with a ring and the wax of that of the emperor. The seal. Nobody broke that seal. Because when he sealed it, it was just like that of a notary public, I guess, of today. I don't know. That the notary public says, I verify that this is who he says he is, and he signed it in my presence. I stamp it. You get those little dimples on the paper. And now that's a binding legal thing. Back then, when Jesus was put in that tomb, sealed with that of the emperor's ring, posted guards out there because they thought that, hey, they might come and steal his body. Put those guards there to guard that. And then everything started rocking and a rolling and a shaking. And the guards fell down. And then they went back and they told what happened, and they said, well, don't say that. Tell them that these people, his disciples, came and overpowered you and they stole the body. Lies and deception not only started back in the garden, lies and deception continued on even into the garden and even to where the tomb was at and where Jesus was at. Throughout his entire life, and they were trying to bring convictions against him and condemning him. It was not because of truth that they were trying. They were sowing lies amongst the people. They were sowing lies about this and that and the other, and to destroy his life early. And they wanted to take him out. Well, Jesus says, I lay down my life. Not before it's time. But then I rise up. So death, because Christ rose from the dead, and we can have certainty that our sins are forgiven, because he is also, because he rose, Christ represents us to God. Since Christ rose from the dead, we too will rise from the dead. Now, here's in John 5:29, and this is the thing, too, and we'll wrap it up here in just a little bit. 5:22. All people will experience the resurrection. Christians will come to life, non-Christians to condemnation. In John 5:29, I'm going to go like 25. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So Jesus came to take our sins away. That's a good news message. We all are sinners. Now, the power and the things that we see and what gives us that difference of other gods and entities out there is that ours rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, those that die in Christ will rise also. But even those that don't die in Christ, they will rise. But I don't know if I want to go to where they're going. And come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. What does Acts 24:15 say? Let's see, I got that there. It'll tail along with that as well and share that. 24:15. I'll go 14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. In verse 24:15, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. So here again, resurrection is going to be for everybody. It's just that I think for us, we're going to kind of enjoy our resurrection. I got a feeling about that. What about you? I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm dead, but I'm going to be resurrected, because where I'm getting resurrected to is going to be with my Father. Hallelujah. I'm going to go. But it's for those that are resurrected that don't know, that have evil within them and live that way all their life. And for those that have been shared the gospel and they said, no, it's funny, it's loose, it's crazy stuff. That's just for women. That's not for men. Or that's just for those that are down and out that need Christ. I don't need Christ. We all die. Saved and unsaved. The cemeteries are full of unsaved and saved people. But I'm telling you that usually when you do a service, like I said earlier, for one that has been saved and they walk a life of Christ, it's a going home time. For those that die without Christ, brother, I'm glad I serve a God that's a fair and just God. He'll stand before him, and I know that my God will make the right decision. You cannot give false hope. I would encourage you, don't give false hope. If you can't back it up in scriptures, or you can't know that you know that you know, and I cannot tell people that their loved one is in heaven if I don't know where they stood. You know, you could ask them, well, did they ever receive Christ? Well, I don't know. They did this. Well, they did a lot of good stuff. Well, you know, you have to kind of walk around those things. I'm going to tell you, you still need to walk in love and compassion in those situations. You're certainly, when somebody's experienced death in their family and it's an unsaved one, I'm not going to stand up there and say, well, your loved one's in hell. You know, well, God is the judge. He's going to do the judgment anyway. I'm not judging that. And that's where I just have to refer back. Well, and I tell a lot of people that. I say, well, you know, in my scriptures, my God, it says in his scriptures that he's a fair and just God, and he will judge everyone accordingly. Now, they can take that for however they want it. That's just me. I might be wrong. Well, if I'm wrong, I'll see God and he'll tell me, Tim, you should have been more bold in those times. I said, well, I'm sorry, Lord. Yeah. But I hear times people out there that have a lot of, do you like in your life when you're going through things, do you like people just to give you false things to prop yourself up on? Not really. Because what you're propped up on that's false will usually fall out from under you. And you're right back down. But I thought, this guy said, I heard this preacher on TV. Oh, it was all full of this and this and this and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not always easy to share the good news, but it's very needed to share the good news and to share the full gospel, not just the gospel of this, and oh, okay, let's kind of cut that out and share this, cut this out. You gotta share the whole thing. And God will give you opportunities to do those things and share those things. But anyway, getting back, we find that there is a resurrection from those that are died in Christ as well as those that are unjust, and God's going to take care of those things. We'll just wrap this up now in time. I have a little bit of music here.